Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast, your go-to listening for everything travel. Here are your Travel Pulse hosts, Eric Bowman and Dan Callahan.
Welcome back to another episode of the Travel Pulse Podcast. Today is Monday, May 11th, 2020. This is a special Monday episode coming to you. Typically, we do these Tuesdays, but now we're going to do it an extra day early for you because we love you that much. This is your co-host, Dan Callahan with TravelPulse.com, alongside co-host Eric Bowman. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. It was a lovely weekend, Mother's Day weekend, celebrating my wife. It's her first Mother's Day, so lovely time very with nice. Family here and great weather, so looking forward to the week and the month ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Same here. And in case you guys haven't told by now, with Eric's intro there, we fixed some of our audio issues. The people were trying to keep us down, but they got to try a little harder than that. We fixed it up and we're good to go. And today we got a great episode coming up. Very excited for our guest today. It's the president and CEO of Visit Philadelphia, Jeff Guaracino, is going to be joining us later today to talk domestic travel, what to expect coming out of the coronavirus. We've been talking a lot about domestic travel, and now we're going to get some special insight from a domestic tourism board CEO to speak to it about Philadelphia, not just Philly in the Northeast, but just, you know, what you can expect domestic tourism across the board. So very excited for that. And now we're going to get into what's trending in the news over the past couple of days.
Yes, as we do every show here, starting off with what's trending in the travel world before we jump into our interview segment. And what's trending right now, obviously, you know, domestic travel, and one big aspect of domestic travel for many Americans that they love is Disney World. And Disney World laid out plans for a phased reopening, just as Shanghai Disneyland officially reopened to the public today, May 11th. So, however, there is one analyst that has come out and said that he believes Disney World could open as soon as July, citing the plan used by in the outline that Shanghai Disneyland used. So if all goes well, Disney World could follow suit with that. The Orlando parks and hotels could open as soon as July 22nd, according to that analyst. Previously, many thought that the park wouldn't actually open until September. So that would be great news if that actually does happen. Kind of all that really remains to be seen, as there's so much unknown a lot around everything. So the phased reopening of Disney Springs will begin May 20th, which is a great sign. So the fact that Disney Springs, formerly known as Downtown Disney, to your hardcore Disney fans out there, spent many a summers there, love it very much. That opening as a phased reopening up on May 20th. So that's a great sign that you see right there. So basically what we're going to be seeing from Disney whenever they do reopen is their key offerings are going to be modified, and they'll be limited in capacity. You know, some things might even remain closed just at the start of it, whatever Disney wants to do and whatever they feel makes the most sense to them. So I'm confident Disney will be on top of things to kind of maintain social distancing to the best of their abilities. I just hope that there aren't any rogue tourists out there who try to do stupid stuff that, you know, we talk all the time about naughty passengers, or that the same can happen at naughty guests at certain attractions around the globe. So hopefully that won't happen, but hopefully, you know, we can have Disney World open up in July like that one analyst predicted. That would be great. If not, you know, just have to power through.
Yep, and I think that's going to be the key term moving forward here, with not just reopening around the country of different, you know, your local town and governments and everything, but, you know, things in travel as well, as phased reopenings and phased openings and different, you know, waves and phases here. It's not just going to be a green light and just go right back to what it was. We also see this happening.
All full steam ahead. All systems go. The world isn't ready for that. But
yeah, it's going to be
slowly but surely we'll get there.
They're going to have these phases, and you see that now with National Park Service as well. They're going to be doing phased openings. Several parks are going to be open, but inside of the parks, just like you mentioned with Disney, same thing in the national parks, is certain areas might be closed to guests. One of the acting Park Service directors, David Vela, said, you may have facilities that aren't going to be available, but the park's footprint will be. So it'll be a different visitor experience and different normal. We've been hearing that across the board. So when you hear about this new normal, different normal, this is at least part of what they're talking about. So some that have begun partially reopening national parks, Everglades National Park in Florida, Mount Rainier National Park in Washington, Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky, and Pinnacles National Park in California. Those have at least partially reopened as of now. Other ones are in the works. But none of this comes without, you know, a bit of questioning from the other side as well. The Coalition to Protect America's National Parks says it's too soon, and that they should not open until the safety of all employees, concession employees, volunteers, and other partners is ensured. Yeah, obviously, that would be ideal. I think a lot of people, especially working in national parks, they want to get back to work. They want to start working again. So I think a lot of them are probably itching to open back up in small phases. If you want to wait until everything is 100%, absolutely no risk for anybody to get sick anywhere, or not even sick, but be prone to anything like that, I think you'd be waiting way longer, and that might not be ideal for a lot of people that are out of work right now. So we'll see what happens there.
Absolutely, Dan. I think that makes the most sense, and slowly but surely reopening national parks to kind of help springboard travel. Those should be one of the, they're very spacious. You can be socially distant in a lot of those places. A lot of people really do need to get back to work and help springboard the economy to kick back up, and national parks can be that way. So, another area of the new normal that we continue to talk about a lot is airlines. You know, air travel demand is slowly but surely picking back up. However, once all restrictions are lifted, many are wondering what, you know, the new normal will be. We talked about temperature checks and passenger screenings before. Now it's even come out in the last week that airline CEOs, multiple airline CEOs, are on board with TSA screening passengers' temperatures. And the TSA just came out and said that all employees are now required to wear face masks. So that's going to be part of your new normal up front here. The interesting part of that, you know, whatever side of the fence you sit on is whether or not they should be taking temperatures. If they actually do go through with this and make that part of the new normal, and that's going to be a set thing from here on out, expect the wait times to drastically increase. You know, how much longer is it going to take to get through security lines? That will be up in the air. You know, I guess I'll just have to show up to the airport like 4 hours in advance instead of two, which I'm okay with that. I actually really like airports and wandering around aimlessly in them.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
not everyone is like that.
Yeah. So I think that's something we can definitely see across the board, not just airlines, these temperature checks. I think, you know, we might want to get used to that, and waiting lines, at least in the, you know, first few months coming out of this, might be, you know, waiting for everyone to get in that groove. So I think that's something we can fully expect to see. Also on the airline thing, we saw after talking about it last week, Frontier's very controversial fee they wanted to start charging passengers to pay for social distancing rights on their flights, where they would buy the middle seat next to them. They did away with that really quickly. I guess after the fact that they introduced this social distancing fee and things on their flights, they quickly realized that implementing something like that in the midst of a pandemic where people would jump all over it probably wasn't the best idea. So they backtracked on that really fast, just like we said they were going to. It's not like it's a very, very, you know, hot take or crazy prediction we had made. I'm just baffled by anytime I see something like this come out, that multiple people throughout the process had to approve something like that, and they all signed off on that, saying like, yeah, this absolutely, you know, won't be a PR disaster for us at all. Let's charge people to pay, essentially.
But it was.
Yeah, but it turned out to be, you know, I'm always baffled by whenever I see things like that come out. It's crazy.
The power of the people, man.
Yeah,
people made their voices heard, you know, and they quickly did a 180 on that. So
yeah, so that's I think that's all for at least the airlines for the past few days that we've seen. Eric, what's going on over in the cruise section?
Yes, on some unfortunate news, but also some good news happening in the cruise line industry. So cruise lines have continued to push back operations. The CDC no sail order is still in place right now. So we have Holland America canceled all their Alaska, Europe, and Canada and New England cruises for 2020. Princess Cruises canceled most of its 2020 summer season. Seabourn extended to October and November for their pause on operations. Alma Waterways canceled through July 31st. But we do have some good news. Hurtigruten says that they will resume in mid-June. Carnival, I mentioned last week that they're going to be resuming in August. Royal Caribbean brands are currently only suspended through June 11th, but that may change as they have yet to announce any extension on that. That could come, you know, this is May 11th right now when we're recording this, but that could be coming in the coming days or a week. We'll certainly update that once we find out. TravelPulse.com for all your travel news and needs. There you go. But Royal Caribbean, they did recently shore up some more liquidity, as did Norwegian Cruise Lines. Norwegian Cruise Lines secured more than $2 billion of additional liquidity. May 5th, they announced that the launch of a series of capital market transactions led by Goldman Sachs, and they raised over $2 billion. And as I mentioned, you know, Carnival Cruises, they said that they'll resume in August. And after they made that announcement, within mere days, they had some really great news. Dan, tell us more about that.
Yeah, so they reportedly saw, according to cruise planners, said that they had a 600% increase in bookings in the 3 days following that announcement of resuming sailing in August compared to the previous 3 days. And I started looking around because the initial source that broke this was TMZ, which is kind of interesting. But it was a 600% increase. TMZ did what TMZ does with news articles, and it just did some insane reporting on it. Definitely not the type of coverage you'll see on our end. They go well beyond reporting just the facts. But it was funny to just go through the 500 or so comments as of today of people in the TMZ comment section on their website. Absolute animals in that comment section. Somebody was saying that a 600% increase in the 3 days compared to the previous 3 days, that could just mean that six people booked on a 6,000 person ship. I don't know if they continued reading or didn't read, but there was a second stat in there, which is actually very important to note, that it showed it was a 200% increase over the same time period in 2019. And if you recall, around this time in 2019, there wasn't any talk about a coronavirus going around. So to see a 200% increase from the same time period in 2019, I think that's a significant gain. So it was more than just six people booking on a 6,000 person ship. But if you want to get a good laugh for some of the comments on TMZ's website on this article, we sourced to it from travelpulse.com. But it's very good news for Carnival, and hopefully that'll start, you know, appealing to all of the other cruise lines when they start, you know, officially announcing and get closer to their sailing dates.
Exactly. Contrary to popular belief that you might see on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, people do love to cruise. People still want to cruise. 2021 bookings are on the rise. So people still want to get out there and cruise. And, you know, I know the cruise industry has received some negative heat with everything going on in the past few months, but the fact remains that there are hardcore cruisers out there, and there are even casual cruisers out there who still want to get out and explore the world via cruise ship.
Yeah, and you know, some people are questioning whether or not a lot of those bookings are for 2021. You know, they might be. I would venture to say most of them aren't for August 1st, but there are some of those. It just brings to light again about these incentivized things that you can look from cruise line to cruise line, the airlines, hotels, anything in travel, really, tour operators. Take a look at some of what they're offering. They might be offering down the road, you know, book now, travel later, where you can get 105, 110, 125% of your booking if you travel later. You know, there's a lot of incentivized offers out there like that. So definitely look into those so you're well aware of all of your options.
Speaking of wild percentages, though, the United Nations World Tourism Organization just came out with a new report that said that 72% of the world's travel destinations have closed their borders, which obviously should be as no surprise considering we are in a pandemic at this moment. 100% of global destinations have travel restrictions, and 72% have completely closed all their borders to international visitors. So tourism has been hit the hardest of all the major sectors as countries lock down and people stay at home. But you know what's going to help with that post-coronavirus and help get that going is traveling. Am I right, Dan?
Absolutely. Obviously, traveling, you see, you know, people from the World Tourism Organization have said that tourism is one of the hardest hit of all the major sectors in these countries because people are locked down and they have to stay at home. And to revitalize the tourism industry in a lot of these countries, poorer countries as well, the way that you revitalize that is by traveling there and spending money there. So that's really going to help that. And for a lot of people to go there, they're going to have a trustworthy, knowledgeable travel advisor. The way, for people outside of the travel industry that don't know, the way the travel advisors get all of the knowledge, information on these things, they're not just reading stuff in an article and then they become a pro at selling, you know, some random country somewhere. A lot of what happens is they go on what we call FAM trips. Familiarization trips is what FAM is short for. Agents want to go on FAM trips. They go to countries hosted either by hotels, tourism boards, any of the like, and they will go and experience that property, that destination, get to know a lot of the people there, managers at the hotel properties, people working at the tourism board. They make connections. Travel is all about networking, which is great. FAM trips have a very important place in the travel community, especially for advisors. The question now is, and there's been some controversy around this as well, is should travel advisors try and start going on FAM trips sooner than later? A lot of travel advisors are saying, yeah, I want to go on the next available FAM trip. Other advisors are saying, I'm not worried about FAMs at all. I want to start, you know, bringing in revenue and selling things without having to travel right now. And I kind of see both sides, but I really think if it were me, I would be selling things that I know and that I'm a professional in and that I've been selling for years, and I don't need to go and sell, go on fam trips in order to sell something. Obviously, if there's some places that are going to be more popular than others and you want to be a pro at it, taking a fam trip to, if you've never been for some reason and you work and travel and you've never been to Cancun or the DR or Puerto Rico or, you know, some, you know, hotbed destinations, Jamaica, places like that, that you want to get familiar with and make connections with, I can see why you would want to. But if you're really well versed in so many different properties and countries and tourism boards, I would focus on selling them right now, and selling what you know. Worry about going on fan trips later. If there's any type of information you can get online or by connecting with people, I'm sure they're well open and are getting well versed in their virtual technologies right now. You know, a lot of them are doing virtual tours of stuff. They're doing virtual events. They're doing webinars. There's online training everywhere. So you can definitely take advantage of a lot of that type of stuff in order to sell to your clients. But if you're really well versed in certain things, I think you would want to try and stick to that and sell that and worry about going on fam trips a little bit down the line after you start bringing in some revenue. That's from my perspective of not being an agent. That's what I would do if I were an agent. I see a lot of people on either side saying you might not want to worry about booking a trip to Europe or something in order to sell it right now. Maybe you want to focus on selling something Caribbean, domestic, Mexico, Hawaii, something like that right now. That's just kind of how I see it. So let us know what you think, though. Do you think you want to go on a fam trip relatively soon, or are you pushing that off until early, mid, late 2021? You can reach us at podcast@travelpulse.com. Let us know your thoughts on that. And while you're browsing around on the podcast, leave us a review. We would really appreciate that.
And for those who don't know, fam trips does not mean free trip. But you know who deserves a free trip right now? Frontline workers, healthcare workers, the real heroes going on right now. And there are a lot of companies out there honoring those frontline workers with trips. So Playa Hotels and Resorts is helping travel advisors gift vacations to community heroes. So they're launching their Heroes Service from the Heart campaign, allowing travel advisors to gift more than 30 free trips to their community heroes, which is awesome. And they're not the only ones out, they're not the only company out there giving free trips and honoring frontline workers.
Yeah, there's a ton of recent campaigns that are being launched and recent giveaways, and some of the more recent ones we have coming up. I think one that was just announced last week, AMA Waterways is honoring their frontline heroes with complimentary river cruises. So medical professionals, first responders, employees of essential services that have a valid ID are eligible to receive a complimentary future cruise certificate. So check out AMA Waterways website or go on Travel Pulse and check out that article, see how you would be able to enter for that.
And airlines are jumping on board as well. Qatar Airways is giving away 100,000 tickets to honor frontline healthcare professionals. So that giveaway opens up on May 12th and closes at May 18th. So healthcare professionals can register for this exclusive offer at QatarAirways.com/thankyouheroes and submit a form. There's more information, obviously, up on the recent story we published on TravelPulse.com as well.
And airlines are actually partnering with hotels as well. American Airlines and Hyatt are honoring New York healthcare workers. They are showing their appreciation by sending over 4,000 staff members on round-trip flights on American Airlines to Hyatt hotels and select destinations across the United States and the Caribbean as well. So check that out between American Airlines and Hyatt partnering together to offer those healthcare workers and essential workers that type of trip.
And just one more to throw in there too. JetBlue is honoring 100,000 healthcare workers as well, with a round-trip flight certificates for two to any scheduled destination. So be sure to check that out if you're a fan of JetBlue or if you're a healthcare worker.
Big shout out to all those travel suppliers that are incentivizing and sending healthcare and frontline workers around the world on different trips, vacations, and getting them back in the spirit of traveling, which is all what we want to do. So now let's move into our interview segment with the Visit Philadelphia President and CEO, Jeff Guaracino.
Welcome to the podcast, Jeff. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Really happy to be with you.
Yeah. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in the travel industry.
Sure. My name is Jeff Guaracino. I'm born and raised in Philadelphia, and I'm the head of Visit Philadelphia, the 5-county regional tourism marketing corporation. And so my job is to tell the world about the amazing activities and tourism interests in Greater Philadelphia. And we do that through advertising, PR. It's for the leisure traveler. About 45 million people came to our region last year. and had a really good time.
That's great. And we're actually really glad to have you on here, mainly because I've, you know, and like I stated before, I'm in from the Philadelphia area myself. We have plugged Philadelphia on here numerous times, at least I have. I'm glad to have you on here and talking about that. And not even just Philadelphia, but domestic travel in general. A lot of what we are hearing from, we speak largely to the travel advisor community, and a lot of things of what we're seeing is that domestic travel is going to be one of the biggest things to rebound coming out of the current situation that we're in right now. The coronavirus. So speaking of like domestic travel, both Philadelphia and just across the board, as things start to open up a little bit more and restrictions begin getting lifted, how do you think domestic travel will change over the course of different involvements here?
Domestic travel will change. I think that Americans will want to travel. Travel is the American right. And we are going into Memorial Day, the unofficial start of summer. This is the time of year where all of us look to take a little time off to travel, to have experiences that we've been sacrificing through the cold winter that we have not had. So I think what the opportunity right now, especially for travel advisors, is that all of a sudden, Americans are going to be rethinking their travel plans. I had two trips to Europe this summer that I was intending to take, but have thought maybe not this summer. And there were a couple cruises that I was going to look to take this year as well that I may delay, primarily because of timing. Some of the cruise ships now are doing other itineraries, or their timing might not match my schedule. And so Americans are going to look to domestic travel destinations that they've been meaning to get to. They may decide to drive and do the Great American Road Trip to save money, to maybe make it more convenient to take a last minute trip, or to really be in control of their travel experience if they're unsure that they or someone in their travel party wants to get on a plane right away. But I do think that Americans are going to need some help in terms of identifying what are going to be a great trip for them and for their travel party. So I think all of a sudden, Americans are looking for something unique that gives a complete experience and might also address their family travel needs, their girlfriend getaway needs, their celebration milestones, whether it's bachelor parties, wedding parties, 50th birthday parties. So I feel very, very confident that domestic U.S. leisure travel will continue to grow for the next few years.
What do you think some of the biggest challenges for tourism across the U.S. might be? And more specifically, you know, for your area in Philadelphia, what ways can Philly and other DMOs around the country overcome these challenges?
I think the first challenge that we have, and it's really all of us, we have Dan, Eric, me, is as we've been in this stay-at-home orders, as we've seen some of our neighboring counties either shut down or slowly start to open, we as travelers, just as human beings, have not really had an opportunity to redefine ourselves and our travel behavior in the era of social distancing or in the era of a pandemic where we may be concerned about acquiring this disease. So I think first and foremost, all of us need to be really attuned that we're in the people business, and people need to identify what's going to make them feel comfortable in a restaurant or a hotel or in a travel experience. I also think that depending upon the time of year, the traveler will want different experiences. So coming into summer, clearly beach destinations, getaways that have outdoor space, outdoor activity, really we'll see, I think, the immediate surge. And then as we get into the fall and then into the winter, as we look at concerts, events, cultural events, I think that you'll begin to see a greater demand for those indoor activities. So it really is unclear. I think, though, with the unemployment rate temporarily being as high as it is, people are going to look for great value. They're going to look for flexibility. And they're going to look for something that could maybe help them reconnect with families and friends in group activities.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that stuff, like you were saying, between the great offerings, unique offerings, good deals coming out with the unemployment rates, like you were saying, Philadelphia has so many of those things to offer. And it leads right into our next question here about what American travelers should be looking for when they're considering booking their future travels and even just domestic travel in general.
I think they should look for destinations that make them feel good, that make them feel comfortable on whatever their trip is going to be. I think that this is a time when trusted hotel brands, you know, will deliver on cleanliness, a great experience. I think that you'll see that those trusted hotel brands will try to keep their hotel rates up as much as they can, but that's because they're investing in their staff, investing in cleaning your rooms, and really putting the traveler first. You may see some hesitation for people to do an Airbnb room, you know, renting someone's room out or even an entire house. It's really unclear yet, but I think that the shared economy, whether it's an Uber or a home, that might take a short-term hit only because people might be less confident compared to an international hotel chain about the cleaning programs that's there. I also think that flexibility is a really big key in travel and ensuring that we can meet the traveler where they are. I think if it's a guy's trip and you're going to play on a great golf course, and we have tons of great golf courses here, you may travel differently than, let's say, if you're a grandparent and you're taking your young children to the Please Touch Museum or to the Frankl Institute. You may look for something a little bit different.
What are the biggest things you're doing to boost your local economy and drive visitation? Has there been any uptick in interest in visiting when this is all over that you're seeing now, or is it kind of remains to be seen status?
Oh, it definitely remains to be seen. I will tell you that Greater Philadelphia has been building our tourism industry for well more the last 30 years in the convention center business, into meetings, wedding business. Of course, leisure is very popular here. And so basically in 30 years, building up the industry, in 30 days, the industry stopped. Travel searches have stopped. People aren't looking for deals right now. Now, I do believe that that will shift and that will change. Memorial Day really is a mental shift. July 4th is a mental shift for Americans. Yeah. And so I think that will change as cities and counties and states continue to reopen. I also think that it will change as people begin to get more comfortable with the idea of we're temporarily living in a world where a pandemic and a virus could be caught. And so as we change our behaviors, I think that Americans have proven that we're still going to go out and enjoy our lives. So I do expect that to turn around and relatively quickly, frankly, compared. Now, I do think that some of the challenges and things that we've done immediately is to ensure that we're supporting our industry online. We are all separate, of course, to protect each other's public health and to do our role in helping our government and our fellow citizens defeat COVID. But I think that what we could do, and we have done, is convene our industry virtually online, through Philly Live Weekends, through our podcast, Love and Grit, and through other opportunities to engage our audiences. And interestingly enough, we have added thousands of people to our social media channels, to our email database. There was more than 800,000 views of our Philly Live Weekend series, everything from meeting interesting Philadelphians and music to what's happening in restaurants and how to cook at home. And we hope to convert those fans and followers, 50% of which are not in the greater Philadelphia region. A good 50% is here, but the aha were how many people wanted to remain engaged with Philadelphia virtually. And so the idea here is that as restrictions lift, as people begin to look for travel, especially in summer, and then as people look to get more comfortable in their travel experiences, is that we can promote that a trip to Philadelphia and greater Philadelphia puts the visitor in total control. If you want to jump in your own car and go to beautiful Bucks County and stay in a bed and breakfast or a small hotel and walk along the river, you could do that. if you want to jump in your car and come to downtown Philadelphia and stay at the brand new Four Seasons and also take a walk around Fairmount Park, one of the largest outdoor park systems in the nation, you can do that. And for people who are somewhat concerned about going into a big city like New York City, and some research is showing that for right now, that they might find a city escape like Philadelphia a nice excursion for them. Especially if you've been looking for art, if you've been looking for the James Beard dining scene, Philadelphia had a great reputation going into the COVID-19 stay-at-home orders. We National Geographic Traveler named us one of the cities that you must visit in 2020. So we had that buzz going. And I think that part of our opportunity is to reconnect people with the buzz. I also want to say that travel advisors are going to play an even larger role for Philadelphia, I think, moving forward. Because one of the interesting things is that travelers have so much choice now that in some ways it's a little overwhelming. What destination would be good for me? What drive vacation? How long does it really take to get there? And I think more and more that the travelers are going to look for some expert advice from people who know the destination very well, like Visit Philadelphia, but also they may rely also on visitor centers and the good old fashioned visitor center to say, how do I spend a great 2 days in Greater Philadelphia? Or what do I do with my family? Because I want to see the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. Or just calling your credit card companies to help you plan your trip, or good old AAA. Mm-hmm. I think AAA is going to be a very, very busy travel advisor community for the next 2 years.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And I think a lot of what you were saying is exactly what we have been saying for months now on the podcast and on travelpulse.com as well, just talking about it from the advisor community. They're the superheroes that are stepping up at this time because they're going to be more needed than ever. Like you said, there's so many options. I mean, specifically in Philadelphia, just with my knowledge of it, I mean, you're an hour and a half from most of the Jersey Shore beaches. You got Bucks County to the north. You got the dining museum event scene in Philadelphia. So many different things that you can do all within just, you know, such a confined area, that which is coming out of this going to be a nice alternative to some of the larger cities that people might want to avoid. Obviously, like a lot of the stuff you were saying has yet to be seen as far as seeing an uptick in interest. There's a lot of buzz there around virtual travel, the ways you can connect with the city virtually. So do you think, has there been any research you guys have been doing that has been able to point out some positive data in Philadelphia and that you might see as applicable to other DMOs around the country?
Yes, we've been doing research every single week since this really began in early March. And a lot of it is around consumer sentiment. How are people feeling? When do they think they'll plan trips again? Anyone can access the research that we have. We're freely sharing it with our industry at visitphilly.com/research. I invite all of your listeners to just go there, take a look at it. It's national data as well as regional, like New York, DC, Philadelphia. If we could help educate our industry and help empower our industry to rebound, we at Visit Philadelphia feel as though that we're all in this together. And so feel free to look at the data that we have, which may be helpful to others. But I think that moving forward, the opportunity for us to rethink how we engage our visitor and the opportunity for us to innovate based upon our visitors' new needs in a post-pandemic, post-COVID world will be a wonderful opportunity for us to ensure that we remain an industry that's agile and an industry that remains focused on the person and what they're looking for from a travel experience. So one of the things I'm excited about is not only getting all of us back to work and all of us traveling again, but also I'm excited about the future opportunities that are being developed right now that we may not even know is coming down the pike. And also what the consumer and the traveler is going to ask of us as an industry to help them fulfill their human desire to travel, to explore, and to experience something that's just a little bit different than when they're at home.
And speaking just to specifically Philadelphia, when this crisis is all behind us and we can get back to whatever new normal that may be, you know, what are some of the biggest things that you would recommend for travelers that are looking at Philadelphia that they could partake in?
The first thing is, I think when people look at a trip to Philadelphia, they'll find a very attractive and affordable getaway vacation, because we do have so much to offer from history, dining, shopping, but always in something that is rooted in the first city in the country. And so I think people will find that if they have a particular budget or a particular time frame or a particular trip interest, that they can find something that would be meaningful and gratifying to them. I also think that for those who are foodies and love James Beard, we were named last year with Zahab, the best restaurant in the country. We're well known for our food scene. So if you're a foodie, you're going to love it here. If you love art, you're going to love it here, because you can walk between some of the greatest art museums in the world. And then I think if you're looking for a special occasion where you want to meet people in the middle, right? Whether you're coming from Maryland, Delaware, DC, Virginia, New York, Boston, Pennsylvania, that Philadelphia becomes a very attractive destination, somewhere where everyone could come together. And our airport is serviced not only by American Airlines, but low-cost carriers. Frontier Airlines is doing some amazing promotions right now where you can fly into Philadelphia relatively inexpensively. So I think that moving forward, you're going to see great value. You're going to see a destination that's responsive to the traveler's needs and wants. I think nostalgia and family will really play a significant role in the emotional connection between travelers and the places that they visit and the people that they want to spend time with.
Very well put. Yeah, and I agree with everything there. Just knowing, you know, the whole area and how much it has to offer, I think a multitude of reasons, whether, like you said, meeting in the middle, getting, you know, a whole range of different things that they can offer in Philadelphia, which is great. Have you received any type of insight from any, you know, local or state government officials about when you could potentially open back up? Or is that like kind of another to be seen? Or if people are looking to book a trip, do you have like any general like time frame or idea of when that can be a possibility?
Well, interestingly enough, hotels in particular and the attractions, not just here in Philadelphia, but others all over the country, they are still accepting reservations. Most of them are looking to mid-June, right, as people are starting to travel and they're starting to look at the Memorial Day travel. And right now is a very, very, very good time for people to make their travel plans. In addition to that, it may be really important for people to plan ahead, because if you know you want to go somewhere specific and you want a great deal, or you want to make sure you get that restaurant reservation or even tickets to a museum attraction or a theme park, you may want to buy those early, because the capacity may be limited for social distancing to make it a more pleasant experience for the visitor. So instead of waiting to last minute on the things that you know you want to do, I would recommend that you book those experiences now. So that way you know that you're not competing with the rest of the American travelers who are also looking for unique experiences coming through the summer.
And I think that's been one of the big things that we've heard throughout the industry is book now, travel later. And, you know, if they're able to do that by mid-June, or even, you know, start booking and planning that trip now and traveling, you know, a little bit down the line here, that would be great. So thank you again for coming on the podcast. Is there any other last things you want to mention about where our listeners can get more information about Philadelphia, you and anything about the surrounding area?
We would love your listeners to acquaint yourselves with visitphilly.com. Take a look at Bucks County, Chester County, Delaware County, Philadelphia County. Really begin to see how much the Philadelphia that you thought you knew has grown, evolved, and really become a very well-rounded vacation for you, yourself, and for your friends and relatives, certainly for anyone who trusts you as travel advisors on where to go this summer and this fall.
Excellent. Thank you again.
Thanks so much for joining us, Jeff.
Thanks so much, guys. Travel safe.
Thanks again, Jeff, for joining us. And if you would like to be on the podcast or reach out with any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. We're fan friendly. That's podcast@travelpulse.com. Hit us up. We'd love to hear from you.
And while you're at it, be sure to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts and let us know how we're doing. We'd appreciate all the feedback either through the email or reviews. Let us know who you want to hear from, topics you want to hear about, or if you simply just have any remarks about how the show and topics have been going. But once again, thank you again, Jeff, for coming on this podcast. Everybody, we'll see you next week.